throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports. Right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got all things, all kinds of things to talk about. NBA season nearing the end, at least the regular season. Oklahoma City Thunder down in New Orleans. Even though the Thunder, for their last six, it hasn't felt like they maybe have played their best. A tough matchup with Zion appearing to shed some pounds and playing really, really well. Herb Jones is always a guy that gives Shea some problems. So that's a tough matchup tonight. New Orleans, the fourth seed. Oklahoma City, the second seed, in a loss column tie with Denver, which if that ends up the case at the end of the season, Oklahoma City will be the one because they have the tiebreaker over Denver, beating them 3 out of 4. But right now it looks like the Thunder are kind of a little bit on as we near the end of the regular season. So where will they end up in your mind? Where would you want them to end up as far as the seeding goes? 10 of the last 12 against winning teams and a couple really hot ones in New Orleans and tomorrow night, Houston. Look out for Houston. Houston is almost in the play-in to knock out Golden State. There's another young team, Houston, Oklahoma City, and there's one other young team that's really kind of turned a corner, it looks like, and they could be pretty formidable in the near future. So we got that little NFL draft. You know, Caleb Williams, it feels like the disdain maybe for him has died down since his pro day, since he just gave up the fight of not wanting to go to Chicago. Now it feels like he's embraced kind of the idea of him being that number one pick. So where do you view him as a prospect? And could Chicago be this year's Houston? Who's the next best quarterback after Williams in the draft? Is it a given that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver? He refused to work out at the combine. He refused to do anything at his pro day. Is that a red flag for you that he wouldn't participate? And is there a player that you liked in college that would be a little bit underrated come draft weekend that you think is going to be a good player? So we can talk a little NFL draft as we're, about a month away from that. And then, of course, we talked yesterday, NCAA tournament. We're going to rank the remaining teams in order, 1 through 16. The teams that were able to make it through to the Sweet 16 in the second weekend of the tournament, we will rank those 1 through 16 right here off the top of the show. We'd love for you guys to do the same thing as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can do anything that you would want to talk about. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there is a way to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or you can download the app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News, brand new edition of that Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. Check out the new deals at thepennynews.com. Of course, the print edition, it'll be sent to the printing press. And then tomorrow, it'll start being in certain places tomorrow. By Thursday, everybody can pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV in there as well. When there's high school sports to broadcast, you can watch that through the app. And the Skinny on Sports podcast is available anywhere where other podcasts dropped. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
What an interesting cap you've got on today.
Yeah, it's my new one.
You have it's that CT logo for Canute, and it is camo.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some new merch flying around.
Now, is there some sort of uniform that goes with?
No, that'd be cool, though.
Okay.
No, that'd be neat. No, it's just part of the All Sports fundraisers. And it is dropped, as the kids say.
So there's a camo hat. Is there a blaze orange one you could go hunting with as well?
That's a great idea. Wow, man, I think you're onto something. Get that ready for deer season. Over the summer, I'll have it ready for deer season. That's a great idea.
You can use this one to hunt quail and dove or whatever else is out there right now.
We have another one. I have a solid white one. You know, but the kids love the rope, right? So we got some of those rope caps.
The rope.
Around, yeah. So if you're listening, hit me up. I'll hook you up. No, Jared, it's not exactly like your cap, but I do like that cap. What he's talking about.
Got an answer for Dakota?
I didn't see what he said. Texts are flying in.
Yes, they are. 225-9698.
Man, this computer's slow. I'm seeing half the text, so.
This says, where are the trophy chasing shirts at?
They're out there. That's not on the All Sports, though. I think that someone else did that.
Somebody else. Somebody else found
it's
the
cool.
humor in it.
And on the back, it looks like a board game, like Candyland. but it mentions everything that they chase the trophies for. So anything from academics to esports, and then of course athletics. That's a cool shirt. That's not on the All Sports, so we didn't come up with that idea. But
let's be clear. You know, I noticed.
I love the idea. Don't get me wrong.
I noticed that there was one of the entries into the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge was trophy chasing.
Nice. Catching on.
And I happen to know who it was. And it was definitely some sarcasm.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Putting a little needle out there.
Oh, I love it.
By that gentleman. Use the word gentleman loosely.
I'm trying just to copy Broadbent there. I'm trying. I can't measure up to his standards. His he can wear his all year round. Mine has the orange. Oh, I don't know if there's enough orange to go hunting in that one, though. But his cap is cool. It's that digital camo. You know what I'm talking about? This is like the traditional camo that I'm wearing.
I have seen that hat. I haven't seen his, but I've
I
seen
like that
hat. We were actually talking about it last night at the golf course. Speaking of the golf course, you know, I mean, I feel like we're pretty good buddies with Tyler, don't you, Harrison?
Of course, yeah.
So last night, I knew he had some golf. Oh, he's got like a simulator.
Oh, well.
Last night I figured out just how cool it was.
Was that his house?
No, I didn't get to go. Somebody else that got invited went and tell me all about it.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds really cool. Maybe one of these days we'll get invited to go.
Crossing my fingers.
Door is always open.
Well, I need to head out
really
there.
Neat.
Yeah. We just need to meet up out there. Check it out.
Yes. Problem is, this is about the time you might get put to work planting pumpkins or something out there, putting together the greenhouse.
Or, hey, while you're here, can you watch the kids while
he's
we
got
go into
five
town?
Of them. Surely they can figure this out. Anywho, yeah, that's like they play Dornick Hills.
That's cool.
Right here in Oklahoma.
I don't know if we could say the name. We won't. Because they're not sponsors, but you know, there's like a golf simulator place over in Clinton.
Yes.
Well, I've been meaning to hit that up because it's right across the street from a certain brewery. I think I'll spend the whole afternoon over there.
Have you been there?
Which one? The brewery?
Yeah.
One time.
How was it?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Haven't been there either.
Good wide range of
choices. Don't
get choices.
To go anywhere.
I don't get to have any fun.
I don't.
Come on, mister.
The only place I get to have fun
to
is
the Masters.
Boomtown Grill. That's where I get to go have fun.
That's
good food.
Great place, too.
You know what the special is today, Jared?
No, but
I'll
guess.
I'll tell you later.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I'll tell you later. Okay. Speaking of Boomtown, perfect spot to go watch hoops. Do you have a problem with Caitlin Clark yelling the F word last night?
I didn't see that.
She made a basket and
I stopped watching after OU lost.
She basically yelled, shut the F up. I don't know, not really at anybody, just but not really not anybody.
Was her dad present again?
Her dad was there and he was upset about something.
Probably, I would hope at that.
Almost feels like you kind of see where she gets it.
But there was that viral video where they said he was yelling at her
to quit whining.
Quit whining.
Yeah. Is that, I mean, that's pretty...
I think we could all relate at one point or another when we're watching our kids play. We yell at our kids, stuff like that.
I feel like we get to about junior highs when you quit looking up at the stands for daddy. And now it's happening for her in her fourth year of college. But he had a nice message, which was quit whining.
I didn't see that. Or I didn't see last night. I saw the...
Have you seen the ratings for the men's tournament?
No.
Essentially the best ever.
It's been pretty dang entertaining.
Now, see, I was told going into this tournament, and I can't wait to see them so that we can compare them, because I was told for months now that more people are going to be watching the women than the men. I was told that by a whole bunch of different journalists, ESPN.
Well, it depends who you read and listen to. Don't believe everything you read.
AJ from the top rope. How many times we all wanted to tell a woman to quit complaining?
That is not us saying that. We're just relaying what's said on the text line.
Oh, dear. We can't read that one from Tyler. Anyway. So, I can't wait to see, because this has seemed like, and I do believe it's not going to be the problem for the women's tournament to try to outdraw the men is, and I say this every single year during as we get to the tournament, people want to see Cinderella win on Thursday and Friday. And yep. After that, people want to see the big dogs move on.
Yeah.
You know, and in this year, unlike last year, it's essentially all big dogs that have moved on in the men. Now, obviously that LSU-Iowa game, if it transpires next weekend, that's going to draw tons of eyeballs in the Elite Eight because of the... I mean, I could honestly see there being a fist fight at the end of that game with one of those two rubbing it into the other one and the other one just... Angel Reese and Caitlin, and one of them just punching the other one in the face.
And then Mulkey comes in with a folded chair.
Tyler said, please explain why the rankings are so high. It makes no sense. I don't think I can. I don't.
Why the ratings?
The yeah, ratings are why so the high? Ratings are so high. I don't think I can explain that, because maybe it's one of those things that you read different things and you don't think about where that opinion is coming from. For instance, a lot of the ESPN people talking about how the women, like, almost downgrading the men.
Sure, because they don't have the rights to, yeah.
That's right. And then at the end of the day, I think people just love the tournament.
Well, I think so, too. I think that's what we've said when the conference tournaments were starting. All right, now the season begins.
But that's it's how, really, you know, weird.
Outside of picking up an OU game or OSU game, I wasn't watching. I feel horrible about this. I wasn't watching Duke, North Carolina. I'd rather watch something else or do something else. But now the tournament's like, it's appointment watch. It's like, oh, the tournament's on. We're watching.
I think maybe that's it. You know, kind of slog your way through the regular season, don't really watch any, but now it's tournament time and everybody's got a bracket, 22 million, 23 million filled out on ESPN.
And it's helped that the games, I think, for me anyways, have been fun and entertaining. I have found them fun and entertaining.
Yeah, because there's really, you know, there's not like the evil empire of Duke that draws eyeballs for both sides. You know, the ones that want to see Duke win and the one, this isn't a Duke team like that. Mm-mm. You know, North Carolina, obviously a blue blood of college basketball, but they're not, there's nothing to love or hate about them. And UConn kind of, it's weird because there's really not a major, major storyline.
Well, it plays into the parody we've talked. There's been
right, and a lot of times that means people don't want to watch, because they want to watch the dominant force, see if they can either win or get beat. Yeah. But they don't. It doesn't seem like that's the case because there's absolutely nothing else to watch. that could be true as well. It's really weird. I mean, it's a weird phenomenon, but it's happened.
Yeah, would you rather watch spring training baseball or March Madness?
I don't know. Which side does Ohtani have?
True. Well, it's a good one.
Yeah, here you go. I didn't watch a game all year. I watched all four days last weekend. I think there's a ton of people like that, and it may just be kind of where college basketball has gotten to, where it's not nearly as important for 3 months, but it's still really important to people for one.
I'm sure there's going to be a study about this now that there is gambling is more accessible.
Yeah, that's,
you know, do you think a lot of people are watching because they got a little skin in the game?
There could be. Excuse me. It certainly doesn't diminish the viewing audience. I mean,
I'll admit, I'm watching because I kept looking at my bracket. Go, wait a minute, I'm shooting up these rankings. Mm-hmm. Who do I need to win? And I started rooting, and my kids go, "Who are we rooting for?" The team in white. Why? Because they helped my bracket. That's the only reason why.
There's definitely some of that.
But, you know, the gambling thing, that's a thing. And then the parity thing. And then, like you said, there's no dominant. No, that's part of the parity. There's no dominant team. There's no to root for or against.
Yeah, it's just really strange. Because
I think
if you'd have told me it was, like, one of the worst of all time, I would go, well, of course, nobody's watching.
Yeah, yeah.
But for this to be one of the best, the highest ranked tournaments so far of all time, just kind of, that was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's, you know.
Now we'll see if it, now that's the opening rounds. Let's see what happens this weekend.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be high because we're getting the big dogs. As much as everyone acts like they like Cinderella, they really don't once it gets down to when it, you know, to go to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. No offense, St. Peter's. No, but everybody wants North Carolina to win. So they can see, I mean, if the viewing public had their choice, I believe they would have North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, and Duke in the Final Four every single year. Just don't even worry about the tournament. Just put those in. Everyone else can play their little games, but let's get those mammoth powers at the end. All right, let's rank the teams that are left. You want to go bottom to top, or do you want to go top to bottom? Or do you want to go 8 to 9 to 1 to 3?
Whatever you like.
Let's go from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
We started from the bottom, now we're here. I have NC State as number 16. That seems obvious because of their seeding. And listen, they did. They were the hot team that continued to be hot. Come on. I just don't. I don't get it. You got a 400-pound dude that's wrecking shop down low. They played fantastic. I think this is really weird to see. Talked yesterday about conferences. I mean, the ACC wasn't good all year long. They weren't. And now all of a sudden they got four teams in the Sweet 16, with NC State being one of them. So I have them at the very last spot.
Well, stay in the ACC, and I'll say Clemson. They got off to a hot start against Baylor. If that hadn't happened, they're not playing this weekend because Baylor put on a push there at the end. But I don't know. If we're talking about a top 16 team, it's kind of hard to say this is the worst of the 16. They're in the Sweet 16, but. Yeah, I'm looking at the rest of the 15, and they're the ones that least impress me. So I'll go with Clemson.
You know what's crazy about that? Is, I mean, I drew them in a drawing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So way to go, Clemson.
Yeah, you're a Tiger fan.
But so I was watching the first game. Who did they play first? Was it New Mexico? I think it was.
Clemson?
Yeah, Clemson and New Mexico.
Yeah.
And, of course, New Mexico was a hot team that won the Mountain West tournament that got in. A really popular upset pick was New Mexico to beat Clemson. And then at halftime, Clemson was started out blowing them away. And then at halftime of that game, or maybe it was in the post-game talk with with Kenny and Chuck and Clark Kellogg or whatever. You know, Kenny, as much as he's an NBA guy, I think he also is an ACC guy because obviously he went to Carolina, he follows Carolina, and so he sees the ACC teams, I think, on a fairly regular basis. And he was talking about how he thought, just pure talent-wise, Clemson was like a top 8 to 10 team in this tournament. That just floored me. I sure didn't know that. I was just kind of out of nowhere. And the other guys were kind of nodding along, like, yeah, I like this guy, I like that guy. Anyhow, I've got San Diego State 15.
Me too.
Defending runners up. That big dude is good. Lado, is that how you say that? That guy is a monster. down low. But I've got them. You got them 15?
Yeah, I do too.
So then I've got Clemson 14. Have NC State 14, or you got
somebody else? Have Creighton 14. I have NC State 13.
Okay.
I'm a little higher on NC State. I mentioned all this why I was yesterday. I think they're a hot team right now.
Okay, so 13, I've got the Zags.
I maybe would have switched them if Creighton had struggled. Well, they're the two overtime winners, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that Marquette? It was Creighton.
Yeah, it was Creighton.
Yeah, if they hadn't struggled, but NC State's looked good to me.
Okay, 13, I've got the Zags. 12, I've got Creighton.
12, where I have Alabama.
Very interesting. We have a difference of opinion on Alabama.
You like them higher?
Yeah, I've got them way higher. And here's why. I thought it was really, really, really impressive how they beat Grand Canyon. That was not the way they play. But they beat them in a game that wasn't played at their style. If it had been 101 to 100, I wouldn't be near as impressed with Alabama. But for them to have to go through it, I mean, that game was stupid. Did you watch any of that one?
A little.
It was unbelievable. They were just, I'm talking about playing as hard as you possibly can and doing nothing. I mean, just couldn't do, neither team could do anything. Because, I mean, there was every single play, every single up and down the floor for the last 10 minutes, one or two people were on the ground on every play.
I guess I'm a little down on them the way, I guess I'm more of a Charles Barkley approach to this, where Grand Canyon was stupid in that game.
There's no doubt about that.
Does that why Alabama advance? Because Grand Canyon just kind of came out with basically zero game plan.
Yeah, in the second half. It felt like the first half they had a plan.
Yeah.
Part of that was the guy with the two names, Foster or what. He just wouldn't pass. He just said, nope, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 12. Number 11, I have Marquette.
I have Illinois.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We definitely differ there.
It's because
you just don't like their matchups?
A little bit of that, and I just think they're 10 better teams. I'm more impressed. I guess I'm going with this list of who impressed me the most over the weekend. And there's, like, Illinois, I'm looking who they played.
They dominated.
Duquesne, thank you. It's like I kind of got a break there with them upsetting BYU and then Morehead State. I mean, again, it's kind of like the Duke thing.
A little bit.
They're supposed to win those type of games.
Yeah, they dominated. There's no doubt, but we'll see if, you know, with Iowa State. Okay, so 11, I had Marquette. You know, it's what is interesting to me is how coaches and fits work or don't work. How in the world did Shaka Smart not work at Texas? How did that happen?
Someone asked me that very question when they were playing who they play?
Colorado
on Sunday. And I kind of thought, well, maybe, yeah. And you're right. There are guys who just fit better in different situations. He clearly fits better in smaller colleges.
Yeah.
At VCU, now at Marquette, didn't work at Texas. Why? Well, is the meddling kind of a thing in basketball too? Like it was, like they assuming it is in football with the big money booster dudes and just constantly on them and messes with the schedule. He has to go to booster meetings or whatever. I don't know. Maybe, and then Sky's like, this atmosphere is not for me. This big college is not for me. I don't know. And maybe at Marquette and VCU, they just say, do your thing. We're going to leave you alone.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, at Texas, he was forced to take the highest of the high-level recruit.
And it didn't fit his mold.
And maybe even if it did, they just weren't there.
Yeah.
You know, you look at his teams at VCU, now obviously at Marquette. They're older teams. He has time to develop teams.
Yeah.
Whereas at Texas, he was kind of rolling through them. Even though he had a more, quote-unquote, talented team, it maybe wasn't what he's best at. But when you've got the opportunity to take those guys, you're going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because look, he's got a bunch of those guys that are in the NBA right now that went through there when he was coaching. It's really fascinating that it, as good a coach as he clearly is, that it just flat out didn't work at Texas.
Right.
All right, number 10. Number 10, I have the Duke.
Final note on that. Are we seeing a little bit of that Porter Moser? Worked at Loyola Chicago and kind of struggling at a bigger school?
Yeah.
Would it shock you if he goes and finds...
I just read a thing that said
like
something
about
Wichita SMU.
Or SMU or whatever, and then he has more success.
Maybe not. Well, I mean, and it's obviously harder at Texas because of the league you're in. At the same time, you sure got a bunch of advantages. From money and from recruiting and all that kind of thing.
Okay, what number are you on?
I'm at 10. On 10, I've got the Dukies.
I got them a little higher. I got Gonzaga at 10.
I would have Gonzaga higher if they weren't playing Purdue. I think they were awesome this last weekend.
Well, that's where I'm giving them respect. Yeah. I'm putting them in my top 10.
I mean, McNeese was one of those teams that people thought, watch out, and they just trounced them. And then the second half against Kansas is something that you don't see. I don't mind that. All right, number 9, I've got Tennessee.
I'm close with you there. I have Marquette at 9. I have Tennessee at 8.
See, I've got Alabama at 8.
Okay.
Then 7, I have Iowa State.
We're close again. I have Duke at 7. I'm a little higher on Duke. They've turned it on a little bit. And at 6, I have Iowa State.
Okay, so 6 is where we differ the most. Because 6, I have Illinois. That's probably because I watched them. And, man, Terrence Shannon, watch out. That dude is a bucket. And, yeah, they beat an 11 and a 14. So, maybe not the most impressive road of all time. They'll have their...
The
truth will be what happens against Iowa State.
We say that, right? We say they beat an 11. You know, we mentioned about Illinois, Duke. But you can watch those games, and you can get a good idea of they're playing well or not, right?
They play offense. Man, they can play offense. Now, I don't know if they can guard anybody, but against Iowa State, how much do you have to guard? I mean, scoring is normally the problem with trying to beat Iowa State, right? Because they play such good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois can play offense. That's going to be a fascinating matchup. I think that could be the best game of the Sweet 16 very, very easily.
And I'll give Illinois credit. I picked them this game correctly, and I picked them to beat Iowa State.
See, I didn't, and I wish I would have. Like when I was talking about Mulligans yesterday, if I wouldn't have literally had Arizona and then switched it to Kentucky at the end, my Mulligan would be Illinois, maybe even beating UConn.
Oh, wow.
I think they're good. I really do. I was really impressed with Illinois.
Man, right. Isn't that thorn in the side of OSU fans? That's Underwood's team.
He's
right
got
there.
It rolling, man. All right, number 5, I've got Kelvin's Houston Cougars. I would have them higher, but, man, they're beat up, banged up. I just can't go any higher than 5.
Me too.
Same?
Yep.
Number 4, I have North Carolina.
Okay. I have Arizona at 4.
I've got Arizona at 3.
I have Carolina at 3.
Yep. Now, interesting will be here. Have you drank the entire glass of Kool-Aid, or are you still sane? At number 2, do you have UConn or Purdue?
I have UConn.
I knew you drank the entire glass of Kool-Aid. Now, is that a product of you picking Purdue to win it all, or have you been that impressed?
I've been that impressed, and I've picked them to win it all, so I'm not going to go against it. Plus, I have them playing UConn in the championship, so that's why they're my number 1 and my number 2. But if this was done before the tournament started, it would obviously be a different top 16. But I've been impressed with what Edie and UConn have been able, or Purdue have been able to do so far. Again, I think they're dialed in. They're on a mission. They're putting everything away. They're putting everything to bed, and they're playing really good basketball. And it's hard to repeat, so that's why I kind of went against UConn on that.
Yeah, it happened since, 2007? 2006, 2007 with Florida?
Yeah. Was that the last time?
They were the last time a repeat champion. I've got it flipped. I don't see anything. UConn hasn't done anything. I thought they were the best team going in, and they haven't done anything to tell me that that's not still the case.
No, they've done what they should be doing. Yeah.
They've pretty well dominated. But Purdue has been fantastic so far in their own right. There's no doubt about that. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We thank Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, right here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. What does that mean? Well, they are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. It means they've got the most experience at it. Free local delivery. You can drive through and pick your stuff up. Tests and vaccinations, curbside, and those blister packs are the long-term care unit packaging. Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main, 225-2121. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. All right. College hoops done for the day. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Here's when the money is really made. Between now and the 1st of April. We'll be back. The Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock. Yeah.
Ing.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. About to talk a little NFL draft, but first, it is Tuesday. You know what that means, Jared?
It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday, and you're about to tell us a special at Boomtown.
It is the Tuesday special, which is the $5 chicken fry and one side. So you can go to the Boomtown Grill.
$5
chicken fry, and it also includes a side. So you can get chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes and gravy for $5. Today at the Boomtown Grill, they're open every single day of the week. 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. Not only is the $5 chicken fry special today, they've got 12 big screen TVs, happy hour from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. You can enjoy the house favorite drink, which is the smoked old fashioned, which is a classic cocktail with the modern seasonal smoky twist. Boomtown Grill, located at 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. All right, so it feels like the vitriol for one Caleb Williams has started to die down a little bit. He may not be, and part of it is him, where it doesn't feel like he is quite as in the limelight with not wanting to go to Chicago. It does feel like he's embraced the fact that he's going to be the quarterback of the Bears, so there's nothing that him or his dad can do about it, so you might as well quit, right? And since then, now it's the talk is so much more about Caleb Williams, the player, and not Caleb Williams, the negative.
The person.
Yeah, or whatever that is around him. Maybe not even him.
Who he is, yeah.
That's right. And since that has happened, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that he is the number one overall pick. Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The skill set is amazing, and that's why the people who know, watch him play, and put him up there as the number one guy. He's a guy you absolutely have to draft, and no one's going to blame you if it doesn't work out. Because like everyone would go, well, you would have drafted him. Everybody in the league would have drafted him, so – yes, he is the number one pick.
You know,
and I think he's going to have success. I do. Now, I hope Chicago. I know this is another conversation we can have, but I hope they compliment him, because as we've said, you could have the best quarterback in the world, but if you don't have 10 other guys, and it takes a team to make that guy, you know, to compliment him. So I hope Chicago knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it does seem like they've tried to help out from the weapons front. Obviously, Keenan Allen coming over from the Chargers.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
DJ Moore was already there, and he had a really good season with Fields. Even DeAndre Swift at the running back, tight end is Cole Kmet, and then also Gerald Everett, who's kind of been a guy for the Rams here and there. And so they've done, I think, an adequate or pretty good job of filling out that part of it. Now they've got to figure out how to keep him upright. So,
because as we've seen, I mean, having legs underneath you, it works. Obviously, it's a It'll win you Heisman in college. And it'll save you a few times in the NFL, but you want a long career. You need help. You don't want to do that all the time, every Sunday.
The one thing about him is you forget how huge he is. Then you see him at Pro Day, and he's just massive, right? He just towers over everybody. And he's built thick. You know, some guys are that tall, but a little bit more skinny. He's built thick. And so that, I know what you're saying, and eventually, and so was Cam Newton, and eventually he got wore out by taking shots. I don't know that he's as run, he's not, I mean, I'm not saying he's not as mobile, because he is. I just mean he's not as bulldozer-y type of runner as Cam, even in college. I mean, Cam would run you over. Caleb tries to run around you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can call that a business decision or whatever you want to call it, but I think he really does. That's his attempt. Is to do it that way. And I do think his escapability helps, especially early on, with a less than satisfactory offensive line.
Yeah, allowing that play to extend. And
yeah, and just keep you from taking shots.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with that too.
By being able to move. So they've got the one, and they've also got the number 9 picks in this draft. Interestingly enough, I can't believe it. So Mike Tannenbaum. You know him? He was a GM for like the Jets back in the day. He's on ESPN. He actually put out a mock draft this morning. And it feeds into something that I kind of think is possible. Wait a minute. What is this? Okay, anyway.
Breaking news?
No, I couldn't remember the order. But that's the right order. He didn't do any trades yet. But anyhow, you know who they've got the Chicago Bears drafting at number 9? Marvin Harrison Jr. Is this a direct result of Marvin Harrison Jr. refusing to do anything in the lead up to the draft? He didn't do anything at the combine. He didn't do anything at his pro day. And so now I think there's been a thought, heck, even going into last year, college football season, that it was no doubt 1,000,000% Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in the draft. He's going to be an all-timer type of guy. I think that opinion is starting to change just a little bit with his reluctance to get involved in the process. And Mike Tannenbaum obviously believes it because he's got Malik Nabers from LSU going first as the receiver at number 6 to the Giants.
You suggesting that it's in an attempt to tank, to get where he or to avoid where he doesn't want to go and
no,
get to where he wants to go?
I think it's arrogance.
It's just
I think
just
it's pure arrogance.
Yeah,
Look at my tape. Look at my dad. I think it's pure arrogance on his part. I don't have to do this. I'm Marvin Harrison Jr. And it turns out, a lot of times, the NFL folks don't really like that. Here is the trade. So he's got, okay, let's stop. Hang on. Let me ask some questions to you.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. This is wild. If this happens, this is pretty unbelievable. So we all agree Caleb's one. I would think they need help on the offensive line, but if they don't have a guy that highly rated, take the best available. Obviously, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at number 9, he's going to be above the 9th best player on their board. They take him. Okay. The Bears do a little bit different than what Houston did last year, but they've got a quarterback that can make a difference. They've got him weapons now. I mean, DJ Moore, if Harrison is good, like people as good as some people think, plus Keenan Allen, that's a pretty damn good trio of receivers right there in Chicago all of a sudden with what could be a legendary-type quarterback as far as the prospect that he is. All of a sudden, Chicago's arrow is pointed north.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously they need some help on the offensive line. That's why I ask, could they be Houston? They do it a little bit different way. I mean, Houston drafted the quarterback and the pass rusher with the first couple of picks with Stroud and Will Anderson. Maybe Chicago does it a different way. Who's the next best quarterback in this draft?
I would go Jaden Daniels. I think that's almost a clear answer. Some would say maybe Drake May. I think Daniels is a guy I would probably pick before Drake May. How about you?
I would go Drake May.
Would you? Okay.
Size is a big part of it. Does Daniels not feel a little Bryce Young-y? from a size. I mean, he's not that tiny, but Jaden Daniels feels just a little Bryce Young-y. I don't. He's 6'4", so he's obviously taller than Bryce Young. But 6'4", 210, wouldn't weigh at the combine. That's what he's listed at LSU, so that tells me he's not 210. That tells me he's 6'4", 195 or something like that, that he didn't want people to know. And so I just it's such an investment that you always have to worry about him getting hurt. I think if you're the Commanders, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't on that one, because it's down to those two, I think, and possibly another guy, which is unbelievable to me that J.J. McCarthy is getting so much love. Like, if he actually turns out to be good, it's going to be plumb shocking, because there's nothing from Michigan that told you he was going to be good. He didn't do anything.
No.
Now, he wasn't allowed to do anything because of the way they played, and maybe, just maybe, NFL GMs are going, well, that's how we want to do it. He's good at that. He's already like a pro-style quarterback, a la a Brock Purdy. Like, I mean, that's what he reminds me of, even though he's going to go 270 picks higher than Brock Purdy. But nothing ever from J.J. McCarthy at Michigan screamed top five pick to me. And in this one, he's number four. Which is interesting, because you know who has the fourth pick? No. The Arizona Cardinals.
Very interesting.
Yes, and that means, and so they take McCarthy at four, and then down here at number 11, the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings, who clearly need a quarterback, are trading the 11th pick for Kyler Murray. So then you put Kyler Murray at the Vikings. Would that help persuade Justin Jefferson to stay a Viking? Do you think J.J. McCarthy is like a NFL quarterback?
No. No, where's Penix at?
Let's see here. Bo Nix, 12.
Yep, I like Nix, yeah.
Penix, number 19. To the Rams.
No, not McCarthy, no. I mean, you got a ring, great, but you were a cog on that machine, right?
I sure think so.
Just a guy.
I mean, maybe. I mean, McCarthy do that Stetson Bennett didn't?
Yeah, he didn't do anything that made you go, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, yeah, you made the throw that you're supposed to make.
I hope this is wrong.
What do you got?
You know who I can't believe it's down at 22. You know the Philly has the 22nd pick? You know who they've got them taking?
I don't know. Spencer Rattler.
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Tight end Georgia. Boy, I hope that ain't right.
Just give him the East title.
Somebody in front of them take Brock Bowers, for goodness sakes. Jerry, trade up to get Brock Bowers or keep him off the Eagles. Man, that would be, a pretty fascinating pick right there. Okay, so is there a guy that you really liked in college that's going to end up being kind of underdrafted? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if Brock Bowers is the 22nd pick, I'm picking him. I didn't think he'd be near that low. Because by the end of their careers, Brock Bowers is not going to be the 22nd best player in this draft. He's going to be way higher than that, in my mind. But anyhow, I wasn't really thinking about him being an option. But is there somebody that you really liked watching in college that's going to end up being, I mean, I don't know, second, third, or late first, what have you, that you think can really be a player that makes a difference?
Well, I mean, where do we think Worthy's going?
This has him at 28 to the Bills.
I hate to say it being an OU fan, but I really liked him.
It's fast, obviously.
If he's still on the board, I'm in the, I don't know, mid-teens or a little higher, I'd take a chance on him.
I'll tell you what, As much as I would hate Brock Bowers to the Eagles for the Cowboys, they've got a guy that I'd love for the Cowboys to take. Byron Murphy from Texas. One of the big dudes. Not Sweat. Not the giant.
Yeah.
But Murphy. I would love to see Byron Murphy in Dallas. Local flair, the very next pick at 25 is Tyler Guyton from OU, left tackle.
Who has that?
Green Bay.
That'd be a good fit for him, I think.
They have, Dakota wants to know who the Kansas City Chiefs have mocked to them. Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle, Arizona. You know what I secretly hope? And I'd love to see if Dakota would like this or not. You mentioned the guy that I was hoping would end up in Kansas City.
Worthy?
Yes. With that speed. Now, maybe the Hollywood signing.
Kind of negates that.
Kind of negates that. He wants Adonai Mitchell. I don't think you're going to have a chance at Adonai Mitchell. I think he's going to be gone. This one has him 20 to Pittsburgh. But, you know, he seems like the perfect guy. It means the thing about it, we always want to compare all these fast guys to Tyreek. The difference is Tyreek is, like, built strong, right? I mean, he's, like, a little squatty, but he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Hollywood, Worthy, those guys are a lot more slight in their build. They might, I mean, I don't know if anybody in outside of Usain Bolt in the history of the world is as fast as Tyreek, but these guys are right there. I mean, obviously, Worthy's time was smoking.
Something we have to remember when we talk about Tyreek is we're talking about a guy I can't remember ever being that fast, and I don't know if we'll one of the fastest of all time is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah,
and it's kind of comparing apples to oranges. Well, how do you replace that? Well, you don't. You just can't. He's so
you do it other ways.
You do it other ways. You're not gonna draft that type of speed. That's almost. I don't want to use the term once in a lifetime, but.
I mean, obviously, Worthy made waves with the fastest 40 time in the history of the combine. But here's the difference. Xavier Worthy, he weighs 165 pounds. You know what Tyreek weighs?
No.
191.
190, wow.
He's that much bigger than guys like that. I mean, what do you think Hollywood weighs, 140?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, probably more than that. But he's no 191, no. I can assure you of that. I can't wait for the draft. I can't wait.
It's always fun. And fascinating.
Yeah, because there's going to be somebody, there always is, a couple of somebodies, and normally it's the same teams over and over, that do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope, like, every time there's a draft, as a Cowboys fan, I hope I'm right around, like, say, the Raiders. Because that way, when the Raiders do something stupid, I've got first dibs at, like, the next guy. You know, the one they should have taken, or I want to be around the Raiders when they draft, because they're idiots.
Yeah.
Complete and utter idiots. You know who else isn't very good at drafting, even though they get credit as being good at drafting? But over the past 5 to 10 years has been absolutely horrible at it? New England. Go back and look at their drafts. They've been brutal drafters. I mean, brutal. AJ, our Redskin fan, don't worry. We'll do something stupid. I actually read yesterday, and I don't know how you feel about it, AJ, but I read a lot of GMs around the league think that Washington's new GM, I think his name is Adam Peters. A lot of GMs think that he's going to draft J.J. McCarthy number 2 overall. I'm serious. Now, that could start being smoke screens or whatever. But listen, it might turn out where he was just smarter than everybody in the room. But that, to me, is a pick to try to prove you're the smartest one in the room when there's no sense in it at number 2. You take your pick of May and Daniels and hope you picked right. But to add J.J. McCarthy in the mix at the 2nd overall pick, that is ludicrous to me. But some GMs think he's going to.
Did you mention what Jim Harbaugh said?
No.
About McCarthy?
A while back.
Was it? Just an article I found. Just
about how good he is
from yesterday. Yeah.
He's the best quarterback in the draft.
J.J. McCarthy, best quarterback in the draft.
Well, if that's true, Jim, why didn't you let him play?
Yeah. Well, what if he falls to number five? What if that's where the Chargers are at?
Oh, can you imagine?
What? Hey, you said he's the best quarterback, and he's falling to you, Jim.
Listen, man, if they –
Hey, coach, do me a favor.
Can you imagine if I was – if I was a Chargers fan, I wouldn't even be able to handle the thought of that. You've got Justin Herbert. I've already said multiple times – I was wrong on Justin Herbert. That guy can play. But I think I would move back to San Diego or want them to move to San Diego, whatever that is, if they draft. I really think that's another guy. He throws an extra little, you know, how does Harbaugh want to build a team? Obviously, at Michigan, he built it up front with guys on the offensive and defensive line. This has him taking Joe Walt, the tackle from Notre Dame. Kind of going and the difference is for him, the job that he took already has a guy. We don't have to worry about drafting a quarterback. They got
one. Right. And I think that was a big reason why he took that job.
You would think so. You would like to think that he didn't take the Chargers job so that he could get rid of Justin Herbert and draft JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
If that is the case, he's sillier than I thought.
Careful what you say, Jim, because what if that situation arises and people, wait a minute, you said he was the best. Well, you know, is he going to backtrack? Which he will.
Well, we've actually seen this before with a college coach going into the pros, and that was at Texas Tech when Cliff called Kyler Murray the best prospect in the draft, and then I'll be damned if it wasn't 3 months later he was making that pick.
Right.
Man,
very true.
Listen, for the enjoyment of the draft, I'm hoping either Washington does something stupid and taking him, or Harbaugh does it at five. The internet will explode if either one of those things happen. All right, listen, everybody's got their yard sprayed for the most part. It's time to start gearing up for the growing season. Superior Lawns Granular Application Program. Gets rid of grubs, get rid of the insecticides, application of fertilizer as well. Bring that green zing to your yard. 799-5670. Give Scott a call at Superior Lawns. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Convenience packaging, Jared, we talk about it every Tuesday. No longer do you have to fill your pill caddy up. They do it for you. And then you just crack open the package, take those meds. You don't have to worry about getting it right or right day. They do it for you. That's why it's convenient. Walker's Canes and Crutches are their DME, which is durable medical equipment. They accept most insurances. And then also, there you go. Wait till May to aerate Bermuda.
Nice.
Gifts and greeting cards as well. You know, it's coming along to be Easter this weekend. Get somebody an Easter card or... graduation's just right around the corner. You know what graduates love?
Money.
Graduation cards with money in them. That's correct. Paul Jones Drug is a great place to go and shop for those. 809 North Main, Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. We sure appreciate Rodney and the gang down there at Paul Jones Drug. All right, Thunder in New Orleans tonight. Looking to bounce back from just a manhandling at the expense of Milwaukee on Sunday. The Thunder just really never felt like they had real good footing, especially in the second half. New Orleans been rolling. They're kind of put themselves entrenched into that four seed, it feels like, with the Clippers' massive struggles since Russ has been hurt. We can draw a comparison there. I don't know if it's direct, but It does feel like the Clippers at one time seemed to be the hot team once they figured everything out. And now they've only won 4 of their last 10, lost 2 straight. Those teams are in a deadlock tie. But it feels like the needles are going different ways for New Orleans and the Clippers. I think this is one of those matchups that's not overly favorable for Oklahoma City. Herb Jones can guard SGA. We've seen that happen. The length bothers the Thunder. And do they have any sort of answer for Zion or Valanciunas down in the paint? This is one of those that every time they play New Orleans, it seems like you look at the box score at the end of the game, and the Pelicans have out-rebounded the Thunder by like 21. And the question is, can the Thunder turn them over enough to make up that difference in the amount of shots that each team gets?
Yeah, this will be a tough matchup. I don't know. They're a good. They rebound well, though, I think, after losses. So losing to Milwaukee the way they did, I'm always a glass half full kind of guy. So I'm thinking maybe that will come up because they have been kind of in a lull, even in wins. We'll see. But it is a tough matchup. I'll give the Pelicans a lot of credit.
They're really good.
They're finally playing up to their potential with Zion.
Well, that's it. Zion's finally kind of dropped some weight, and he looks like the guy everybody thought he was going to be coming out of Duke.
Yeah.
And he changes that team immensely when he is Zion. He's hard to guard. He's a weird matchup because of how strong he is and how athletic he is. He's not overly, like, tall, but he's just a hard guy to guard. He really is. And that unlocks everything for them, whether it's McCollum. You know, Ingram's out with an ankle from the other day. You know, he's another guy that's a hard matchup at 6'11", kind of KD light in a lot of ways. So, first off, when you look at the standings, Oklahoma City tied in the loss column with Denver, which would put them at the one seed because the Thunder own the season series against the Nuggets if the season ended today. But 21 losses apiece. Minnesota's there at 22. With only 12 games left, it's hard to see Oklahoma City faltering all the way down to the 4 spot where New Orleans and the Clippers have 27 losses. You know, that's 6 games ahead in the loss column with only 12 to play. That ain't happening. So 1, 2, or 3, where do you think Oklahoma City's going to land? And where would you prefer Oklahoma City to land?
Well, clearly prefer number 1. That's despite the potential opponent. I want number 1 for the home court advantage and all of that stuff. And I get you get that with higher seeds too. I think they land at 2 because I don't think the question is can they reach Denver. I think the question is can they hold off Minnesota. And Minnesota and Denver play each other 2 more times in these final, 12, 10 games, whatever it is, and they're both at Denver. So I think Denver kind of takes care of Minnesota for us, but I don't think we do enough to get to – I think it's like a 1-game difference there. So I think it's almost – I'm not saying locked in, but what we're seeing is probably what we're going to get at the end of the season.
See, that's the one interesting thing about this because let's just say the Nuggets were to beat the Timberwolves twice. That would then run the division record for Minnesota below what the Thunder is right now, which is the second tiebreaker.
Division.
They split the 4 games, so then you go down to the next one, and that is division record. Right now, Minnesota's 11-3, the Thunder 12-4, but as you referenced, those 2 games in Denver and a Nuggets team that has willingly talked about wanting to host the entirety of the Western Conference playoffs, which means they're going to keep going forward for that seed. I have a sneaking suspicion. I would love to see the Thunder be 2. If it was up to me, I would say 2, and it's because of that looming matchup with the Lakers. It seems to me like they were liable to be the 8. And I don't like that at all. So I get that in a potential Western Conference Finals, you got to go to Denver and give them the home court advantage at 2. But for me, I don't think that's happening anyway. I don't know if the Thunder are able to get to the Western Conference Finals. And even if they were, I think you could play all 7 games in Oklahoma City and they're still not beating the Nuggets. So to be able to win the first round and then kind of see what happens after that, that's where I'd want the Thunder to be 2. I actually think they're going to be 3. And then we'll see who that gets them. Could be Dallas, could be Phoenix, could be the Kings. Feels like one of those three teams is going to be the sixth seed. For me, I don't know. I keep on saying Phoenix because it just doesn't seem like they know what they're doing. But those three guys are so capable.
Yeah, and kind of full circling the show, like a Duke or North Carolina that come into the tournament and they know how to turn it on.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like KD and company at Phoenix could do that, or L.A., you know. Dallas, obviously.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
L.A. in the play-in and end up in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
There's some young teams. Houston, which is the opponent tomorrow night for the Thunder. They've been playing fantastic. 9 straight wins. They're only a half game behind Golden State to knock Golden State completely out of the play-in.
Yeah, they still got a lot to play for.
Yeah, they do. Those young guys are kicking it up. With Jabari Smith has gotten better. Jalen Green is just explosive as it gets, scoring the basketball. Houston's one of those that they've had a bunch of high picks, and it looks like finally maybe they're figuring something out with all of those draft picks starting to work together. There's another team that's doing that as well. And it's over in the East, Orlando. Orlando has been really good. People don't even realize they're the fifth seed, a game and a half out of third, behind Cleveland and the Knicks. Orlando's had some high picks that are starting to kind of work together. So it's not just the Thunder. I mean, they've been obviously throughout the season the one that's got the most notoriety, and rightfully so with where they're at and the way they played this season. But Orlando and Houston both are kind of right there below them. And then, of course, we'll see what San Antonio is able to do to put people around Wimby. But you start to see the elevator going up and down, right? Mm-hmm. You start to see the Lakers, the Warriors, maybe even the Suns. You know, some of those teams going down, and the Thunder are right there to kind of take their spot as those elevators pass at some point in the next couple of seasons.
Well, I equate it like a horse race. We're coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
And the true contenders are neck and neck. It's fun.
Yeah, and what the coolest part about it is, as much as everybody wants to see it happen this year and whatnot, it's just getting started in Oklahoma City. Just getting started.
Yep.
The fun is yet to come.
Yep.
Everybody have a wonderful Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Come back tomorrow. We'll be one day away from Sweet 16 action, getting cranked up. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.